Seated. Let's turn now to our Old Testament scripture passage, again continuing our study in the book of Jeremiah. This morning we're looking at two chapters, Jeremiah 37 and 38. They're really a unit, so please bear with for the length of it. Jeremiah 37, that begins on page 665 in the Pew Bibles. Zedekiah, son of Josiah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah, reigned instead of Coniah, son of Jehoiakim. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land listened to the words of the Lord that he spoke through Jeremiah the prophet. King Zedekiah sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah the priest, son of Maaseiah, to Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "Please pray for us to the Lord our God." Now Jeremiah was still going in and out among the people, for he had not yet been put in prison. The army of Pharaoh had come out of Egypt, and when the Chaldeans, who were besieging Jerusalem, heard news about them, they withdrew from Jerusalem. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. Thus says the Lord, God of Israel, "Thus you shall say to the king of Judah, who sent you to me to inquire of me, 'Behold, Pharaoh's army that came to help you is about to return to Egypt, to its own land. And the Chaldeans shall come back and fight against this city. They shall capture it and burn it with fire.' Thus says the Lord, 'Do not deceive yourselves, saying, "The Chaldeans will surely go away from us," for they will not go away. For even if you should defeat the whole army of the Chaldeans who are fighting against you, and there remained of them only wounded men, every man in his tent, they would rise up and burn this city with fire.'" Now when the Chaldean army had withdrawn from Jerusalem at the approach of Pharaoh's army, Jeremiah set out from Jerusalem to go to the land of Benjamin to receive his portion there among the people. When he was at the Benjamin gate, a sentry there named Erijah, the son of Shelemiah, son of Hananiah, seized Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "You are deserting to the Chaldeans." And Jeremiah said, "It is a lie. I am not deserting to the Chaldeans." But Erijah would not listen to him and seized Jeremiah and brought him to the officials. And the officials were enraged at Jeremiah, and they beat him and imprisoned him in the house of Jonathan the secretary, for it had been made a prison. When Jeremiah had come to the dungeon cells and remained there many days, King Zedekiah sent for him and received him. The king questioned him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" Jeremiah said, "There is." Then he said, "You will be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." Jeremiah also said to King Zedekiah, "What wrong have I done to you or your servants or this people that you have put me in prison? Where are your prophets who prophesied to you saying, 'The king of Babylon will not come against you and against this land?' Now hear, O please, my lord the king. Let my humble plea come before you, and do not send me back to the house of Jonathan the secretary, lest I die." So King Zedekiah gave orders, and they committed Jeremiah to the court of the guard. And a loaf of bread was given him daily from the baker's street until all the bread of the city was gone. So Jeremiah remained in the court of the guard. Now Shephatiah, the son of Matan, Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah was saying to the people, to all the people. "Thus says the Lord, 'He who stays in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes out to the Chaldeans shall live. He shall have his life as a prize of war and live.' Thus says the Lord, 'This city shall surely be given into the hand of the army of the king of Babylon and be taken. Then the officials said to the king, let this man be put to death, for he is weakening the hands of the soldiers who are left in the city and the hands of all the people by speaking such words to them. For this man is not seeking the welfare of this people, but their harm. King Zedekiah said, behold, he is in your hands, for the king can do nothing against you. So they took Jeremiah and cast him into the cistern of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the guard, letting Jeremiah down by ropes. And there was no water in the cistern, but only mud. And Jeremiah sank in the mud. When Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, a eunuch who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah into the cistern, the king was sitting in the Benjamin gate. Ebed-Melech went from the king's house and said to the king, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all they did to Jeremiah the prophet by casting him into the cistern. And he will die there of hunger, for there is no bread left in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, take 3 men with you from here, and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the cistern before he dies. So Ebed-Melech took men with him and went to the house of the king to a wardrobe in the storehouse and took from there old rags and worn-out clothes, which he let down to Jeremiah in the cistern by ropes. Then Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, put the rags and cloths between your armpits and the ropes. Jeremiah did so. Then they drew Jeremiah up with the ropes and lifted him out of the cistern, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the guard. When Zedekiah sent for Jeremiah the prophet and received him at the third entrance, King Zedekiah sent for Jeremiah the prophet and received him at the third entrance of the temple of the Lord. The king said to Jeremiah, I will ask you a question. Hide nothing from me. Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I tell you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you counsel, you will not listen to me. Then the King Zedekiah swore secretly to Jeremiah, as the Lord lives, who made our souls, I will not put you to death or deliver you into the hands of these men who seek your life. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you will surrender to the officials of the king of Babylon, then your life shall be spared, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender to the officials of the king of Babylon, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand. King Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Judeans who have deserted to the Chaldeans, lest I be handed over to them and they deal cruelly with me. Jeremiah said, you shall not be given to them. Obey now the voice of the Lord in what I say to you, and it shall be well with you, and your life will be spared. But if you refuse to surrender, this is the vision which the Lord has shown to me. Behold, all the women left in the house of the king of Judah were being led out to the officials of the king of Babylon and were saying, your trusted friends have deceived you and prevailed against you. Now that your feet are sunk in the mud, they turn away from you. All your wives and your sons shall be led out to the Chaldeans, and you yourself shall not escape from their hand, but shall be seized by the king of Babylon, and this city shall be burned with fire. Then Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, let no one know of these words, and you shall not die. If the officials hear that I have spoken with you and come to you and say to you, tell us what you said to the king and what the king said to you, hide nothing from us and we will not put you to death, Then you shall say to them, I made a humble plea to the king that he should not send me back to the house of Jonathan to die there. Then all these officials came to Jeremiah and asked him, and he answered them as the king had instructed him. So they stopped speaking with him, for the conversation had not been overheard. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the guard until the day Jerusalem was taken. May God bless his holy, inspired word to our hearts and lives. Congregation of Christ, chapters 37 and 38 of Jeremiah contain the stories of two men, the prophet and the king. There are others who appear in these chapters, but Jeremiah the prophet and Zedekiah the king are the two prominent characters. This morning, we're back in the time of Zedekiah, Judah's last king. And it's at the end of his reign, shortly before Jerusalem fell. We've seen on a previous occasion that the siege of Jerusalem occurred in two stages. First, the Babylonians came with their armies and with all the armies of the nations they had conquered. They came against Jerusalem and surrounded it. They also surrounded every city nearby from which Jerusalem might possibly expect help, or which city might expect help from Jerusalem. They were going to starve Jerusalem into surrender. But the Babylonians had to break off their attack to deal with the Egyptians who were venturing out of Egypt with their armies towards them. So there was a break in the siege. And it's during this break that the events of chapters 37 and 38 take place. In verse 3, we read that Zedekiah sent Jehukal, son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah the priest, the son of Maaseiah, to Jeremiah the prophet with the request, please pray for us to the Lord our God. We get a couple of parenthetical statements in verses 4 and 5. First, we're told that this was before Jeremiah was put in prison. He still had freedom to go in and out among the people. Second, we're told that this took place during the lull and the siege, when the armies of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, withdrew to take care of the threat posed by the Egyptians who were coming up out of Egypt. This is when the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah. And it's a consistent word, like what we've heard from his lips on many occasions before. Verses 7 to 10. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, thus you shall say to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army that came to help you is about to return to Egypt to its own land. And the Chaldeans shall come back and fight against this city, and they shall capture it and burn it with fire. Thus says the Lord, do not deceive yourselves, saying the Chaldeans will surely go away from us, for they will not go away. For even if you should defeat the whole army of the Chaldeans who are fighting against you, and the remained of them only wounded men, every man in his tent, they would rise up and burn this city with fire. While there was still this lull in the siege, Jeremiah decided to go to the territory of Benjamin to, as the ESV says it, to receive his portion from the people there. Now, it's really difficult to tell what he intended to do there. The NIV translates it to get his share of the property among the people there. Well, we know that later, when he was imprisoned, he purchased some land from his uncle Hanamel. But what's happening in chapter 37 takes place before that latter event, even though that latter event is recorded for us earlier in chapter 32. It's just how the book of Jeremiah is. It's all out of chronological order. But for whatever reason Jeremiah was attempting to go into Benjamin, he never got there. When he tried to leave by the Benjamin gate, Urijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah, who was on duty there, seized Jeremiah and accused him of trying to defect to the Babylonians. Jeremiah adamantly denied it. He protested against the accusation. But it did look bad. Everybody knew that for months and months, Jeremiah had been preaching that Jerusalem should surrender to the Babylonians. In that context, his leaving, trying to leave Jerusalem, certainly looked treasonous. But Jeremiah could only answer, "It's a lie. I'm not deserting to the Chaldeans." But his protest fell on deaf ears. So they took him. They locked him up in the house of Jonathan, the secretary, whose house had been converted into a prison. And they beat him and they placed him in a dungeon cell. And verse 16 tells us that he remained there for many days. It's the king who gets Jeremiah out of the dungeon in Jonathan's house. Zedekiah wants to know whether Jeremiah has any word from the Lord. "There is a word from the Lord," replies Jeremiah. "You will be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." You have to give Jeremiah credit. He always told the truth. The king could have sent him right back to the dungeon or worse. But Jeremiah spoke to him the word of the Lord. And then Jeremiah voiced a complaint. "Why do I tell the truth and get locked up in a dungeon? And all those false prophets of yours who say the king of Babylon will not come against this land, where are they? They're not locked up. Please, O my Lord the king, let my humble plea come before you. Do not let me go back to the house of Jonathan the secretary, lest I die there." The king took Jeremiah's side in this matter, and he committed Jeremiah to the court of the guard, and he commanded that Jeremiah be given a ration of bread from the baker's street as long as there remained bread in the city. He made provision for Jeremiah. He got him out of the dungeon. But Jeremiah was never one who could keep silent for long. Saw that earlier in Jeremiah chapter 20 where Jeremiah said, "If I say I will not mention him or speak any more of his name, there is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in and I cannot." And so as chapter 38 opens, Jeremiah must have been prophesying again about the fall of Jerusalem. For we read that Shephatiah, the son of Mattan, and Gedaliah, son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah was saying to the people. And it was the same old message. Verses 2 and 3. "Thus says the Lord, he who stays in this city will die by the sword, by famine and by pestilence, but he who goes out to the Chaldeans shall live. He shall save his life as a prize of war and live. Thus says the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the army of the king of Babylon and be taken." The officials didn't like what Jeremiah was saying. Not one bit. To them, he was disheartening the soldiers and discouraging the people. They said to the king, "Let this man be put to death, for he's weakening the hands of the soldiers who are left in this city and the hands of all the people by speaking such words to them. For this man is not seeking the welfare of the people, but its harm." Thus, they passed judgment on Jeremiah's motives and condemned him. Whenever you pass judgment on another person's motives, you place yourself in a very dangerous position. Only God can truly see the motives of our hearts. Sometimes someone can tell you the motive, and that may let you know why they say or act as they do, if they're telling the truth, that is. But when we judge another person's motives, we're really sitting in the judgment seat of God. That's what these officials were doing. They said that Jeremiah was not seeking the welfare of this people, but their harm. That's impugning to Jeremiah's motives an evil intent. Jeremiah wasn't working against the welfare of his people. God had told him what would happen if the people resisted the Babylonians. And he told them what would happen if they surrendered. The people's greatest good would be found by doing what God said, and that meant surrendering. But the officials didn't see it that way. And that's why they said that Jeremiah was seeking the harm of the people. They felt they were seeking the welfare of the people by resisting the Babylonians. Jeremiah was opposing their view of things, and so they passed judgment on Jeremiah as seeking the harm of the people. That's so easy for us to do as human beings. Someone doesn't agree with us, and so we condemn them as an enemy. These men called for Jeremiah to be put to death. What's really sad is the king's response. We have that in verse 5. King Zedekiah said, "Behold, he is in your hands, for the king can do nothing against you." First, the king gets Jeremiah out of the dungeon in Jonathan's house and orders that Jeremiah be sustained with bread. Now, he turns Jeremiah over to the officials who were attacking the prophet's motives and who don't believe that Jeremiah, that what Jeremiah had been proclaiming was the word of the Lord. So what do to Jeremiah? They lower him into a cistern to die. A cistern is a tank or a reservoir for water dug in the ground. In places where you don't get a lot of rainfall, you use cisterns to collect rainwater during the time it does rain so that you'll have water during the dry season. They still use cisterns in places like North and South Dakota even today. Cisterns could be quite deep. In the ancient Near East, they were often dug into the rock and plastered over with clay. The water, when they had water in them, was pretty stagnant. It often smelled. In chapter 2 of Jeremiah, we read about a comparison which Jeremiah made. He compared Judah forsaking the Lord and running after other gods to someone who would give up drinking water from a flowing stream, what's called living water, in order to drink water from broken cisterns, stagnant water in a tank in the ground that leaked. Jeremiah was lowered into a cistern to die. There was no water in the cistern, no food either, only mud. And Jeremiah sank into the mud. It was really a terrible way to die. He would starve to death, forgotten, underground, stuck in the mud. But someone had compassion on Jeremiah and went to the king. He's called Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian in the ESV. The Hebrew says he's a Cushite, which was the term used in the Bible for people who came from Ethiopia or the Sudan. The name Ebed-Melech means servant to the king. And we really can't be sure whether that was his name or his title. But he learned of Jeremiah's plight and interceded for him. Verse 9 tells us what he said when he went to the king. "My lord, the king, these men have done evil in all that they did to Jeremiah the prophet by casting him into the cistern, and he will die there of hunger, for there is no bread left in the city." So aid comes to Jeremiah, once again, from Zedekiah the king. It comes by the way of Ebed-Melech, the king's servant. The king commands Ebed-Melech to get Jeremiah out of the cistern before he dies, and Jeremiah is once again rescued. In chapter 39, the Lord has Jeremiah prophesy words of blessing on Ebed-Melech. It was at the time when the city wall had just been breached and the Babylonians were riding into Jerusalem and were burning the city. That was when the Lord told Jeremiah, "Go and say to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will fulfill my words against this city for harm and not for good, and they shall be accomplished before you on that day. But I will deliver you on that day, declares the Lord, and you shall not be given into the hands of the men of whom you are afraid. For I will surely save you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but you shall have your life as a prize of war, because you have put your trust in me, declares the Lord." There are people like Ebed-Melech throughout the Old Testament. They weren't always part of the people of God by descent, but they were true believers in the God of Israel. Ebed-Melech is like Rahab of Jericho, who hid the spies because she believed in the God of Israel. He's like the widow from Zarephath with whom the prophet Elijah stayed when drought was affecting Israel and its neighbors. She made the confession that Israel should have made. She said, "Now I know that you're a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth." Israel wasn't saying that. They were still thinking they could serve both the Lord and the Baals. Ebed-Melech is like Ruth the Moabitess, who left her people and her gods behind to accompany Naomi and to follow Naomi's God. There were people in the Old Testament, not Israelites by birth or descent, but who nevertheless were true believers among the outward people of God. Ebed-Melech was one of these. And when Jeremiah is rescued from the cistern, Zedekiah wants to talk with him. He wants to know what the Lord says is going to happen. Jeremiah is reluctant. He tells the king, "If I tell you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you counsel, you will not listen to me." But the king says to him, "As the Lord lives, who has made our souls, I will not put you to death or deliver you into the hands of these men who seek your lives." So Jeremiah answers the king. What do you think he told him? Do you think he suddenly found a way to soften his message and make it more acceptable to the king? With all the threats and near-death escapes, isn't Jeremiah finally ready to give the king a more positive answer? Verses 17 and 18, Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you will surrender to the officials of the king of Babylon, then your life will be spared, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender to the officials of the king of Babylon, then this city shall be given into the hands of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape their hand." Jeremiah doesn't deviate. It's the same message he'd given many times before, and it's not that Jeremiah is obstinate. It's that the word of the Lord hasn't changed. Listen to what Zedekiah replies. I'm afraid of the Judeans who have deserted to the Chaldeans, lest I be handed over to them and they deal cruelly with me. Why would Zedekiah be afraid of those who had deserted to the Babylonians or who had been taken captive by them? Because those people knew that Zedekiah was the one putting Jerusalem and the temple and all their lives at risk by not surrendering. Jeremiah tells him, you will not be given to them. Obey now the voice of the Lord in what I say to you, and it will be well with you and your life will be spared. You'll be spared if you obey the voice of the Lord, which is telling you to surrender. But if you refuse to surrender, this is the vision which the Lord has shown to me. Behold, all the women left in this house of the king of Judah were being led out to the officials of the king of Babylon and were saying, your trusted friends have deceived you and prevailed against you. Now that your feet are sunk in the mud, they turn from you. All your wives and your sons shall be led out to the Chaldeans. And you yourself shall not escape from their hand, but shall be seized by the king of Babylon, and this city shall be burned with fire. You thought Jeremiah had it bad in the cistern stuck in the mud. If Zedekiah refuses to surrender, the women who left his house will say, your trusted friends have deceived you and prevailed against you. Now that your feet are sunk in the mud, they turn away from you. When Jeremiah was stuck in the mud, God moved Ebed-Melech to take compassion on him and to make intercession for him before the king. But Zedekiah will remain stuck in the mud unless he obeys God and surrenders. Zedekiah will fall because his friends whom he trusted, his advisors, are untrustworthy. They have deceived him. Zedekiah was king, but others were constantly pulling his strings. The first verse of chapter 37 reminds us that Nebuchadnezzar had made Zedekiah king instead of Coniah, son of Jehoiakim. And what does Zedekiah tell Jeremiah after Jeremiah lays before him what will happen if he obeys the word of the Lord or if he disobeys it? Verse 24, then Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, let no one know of these words and you shall not die. If the officials hear that I have spoken with you and come to you and say, tell us what you said to the king, what the king said to you, hide nothing from us or we will not put you to death. Then you shall say to them, I made a humble plea to the king that he would not send me back to the house of Jonathan to die there. Then all the officials came to Jeremiah and asked him, and he answered them as the king had instructed him, and so they stopped speaking to him for their conversation had not been overheard. Zedekiah fell victim to what has happened many times to dictators and rulers. They seem like they're strong figures of power and are in control. But in reality, they are merely puppets cowering in fear to their own advisors. In the ancient world, many rulers took for themselves the title of the Great. There's Alexander the Great. There's Pompey the Great, Gnaeus Pompeius Magnus. He kept the Adriatic coast of Italy free from the pirates, the Barbary pirates. In modern times, people aren't usually called great themselves, but they're given the word great as an adjective describing one of their prominent characteristics. And so President Ronald Reagan is known as the great communicator. Our own current president has been called the great disruptor, and you can understand why. If you had to give a title of greatness to Zedekiah, it would have to be the great vacillator. Chapters 37 and 38 show him constantly changing his mind, deviating from his position depending on who was in the room with him. He asked to hear the word of the Lord over and over again. He loved to hear it, kind of like Herod loved to hear John the Baptist preach to him. But he could never bring himself to fully obey it. But Jeremiah was steadfast. Jeremiah was one of those Hebrews 11 heroes of faith of which the world was not worthy. In that chapter of the book of Hebrews, starting at verse 36, we read, "Others suffered mockings and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." Jeremiah is an example of the kind of faithful witnesses that we are called to be in this fallen world. And if you keep reading in the book of Hebrews, you find that Jeremiah and the other heroes of faith point beyond themselves to the one who, above all else, we should look to. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely to us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Jesus steadfastly obeyed the call the Father had given to him, even though the call led to the cross. Jeremiah was steadfast and constant in declaring the word that the Lord had given him. Will you follow in their footsteps? Let us pray. Father in heaven, there's much for us to learn from these chapters we've looked at this morning. Lord, unless you change us, we're just like Zedekiah, cowering in fear, falling prey to the influence of every person around us, afraid to stand for you, to even when we constantly hear your word, not putting it into practice. And then there's Jeremiah, who you called, Lord, changed, put your word in his mouth, and who proclaimed it not because he was obstinate or stubborn, but because he knew you, and he was obedient to you. He was your prophet, your man. What great examples we have before us, Lord. But nothing greater than the example of your Son, who was obedient to you in all things. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Help us to look to his example. Help us to trust in his grace, his blood atonement, which washes us whiter than snow. We pray these things in his name. Amen.